Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and read an abbreviated version of the suggested Al-Anon welcome. We welcome you to the PRASA Lunch and Al-Anon Alateen Family Group meeting and hope you'll find in this fellowship the help and friendship we've been privileged to enjoy. We who live or have lived with the problem of alcoholism understand as perhaps few others can. We too were lonely and frustrated, but in Al-Anon Alateen we discover that no situation is really hopeless, and it is possible for us to find contentment and even happiness whether the alcoholic is still drinking or not. Our thinking becomes distorted by trying to force solutions, and we become irritable and unreasonable without knowing it. Al-Anon has helped many of us find solutions that lead to serenity. As said earlier, anonymity is an important principle of the Al-Anon Alateen program. Everything that is said here in the group meeting and member to member must be held in confidence. This is the only way in which we feel free to say what is in our minds and hearts, for this is how we help one another in Al-Anon and Alateen. At this point, I'm going to have Paul Jay, who is one of our speakers, read the 12 steps. In addition to tradition 3, book ended by tradition 1 and tradition 12.
Thank you. Excuse me. 12 steps. Study of these steps is essential to progress in the Al-Anon program. The principles they embodied are universal, applicable to everyone. Whatever his personal creed, in Al-Anon we strive for an ever deeper understanding of these steps and pray for the wisdom to apply them to our lives. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our own lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Made a searching and fierce moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his knowledge, only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you.
Traditions are right here. You want me to continue?
Okay. All right, and I'm going to continue on with the traditions. The 12 traditions. These guidelines are the means of promoting harmony and growth in Al-Anon groups and in the worldwide fellowship of Al-Anon as a whole. Our group experiences suggest that our unity depends on our adherence to these traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal progress for the greatest number depends upon unity. 3, the relatives of alcoholics, when gathered together for mutual aid, may call themselves an Al-Anon family group, provided that as a group, they have no other affiliation. The only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of alcoholism in a relative or friend. And then the last one, 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles over personalities. Thank you all.
In order to give enough time for the speakers to speak, we started early, so thank you. Thank you for reminding me to bring the speaker closer. And as what we're gonna, we have, let me just say this. And now we will start. We wanted to open our session with music that speaks to the experience and worldwide fellowship and the personal spiritual journey our program supports. Singing together is good for our nervous system, helps us connect across differences, uplifts the spirit, and so much more. So we invited Alaskan singer-songwriter Libby Roderick to join us and to share a couple of her songs. You will find the lyrics on your table, and we encourage you to sing along. So let's welcome Libby Roderick.
Okay, well, thanks for asking me. It's great to be here. We're going to try to make it so you can hear, but it's wicked hard with this one microphone. So if you're worried about that, you might have to move closer. If you don't want to, it's okay, but if you want to. And so Denise kindly asked me to come and ask for two particular songs. And the first one is called Cradle of Dawn. It was written quite a long time ago when we had the oil spill, for those of you who remember that. But the whole idea behind it is that we need help sometimes, and I needed help during the oil spill, and one of the things that really helped me get some rest and then get some help so I could keep moving and do what I needed to do was knowing that there were people halfway across the world who were getting up as I was going to sleep at night, and vice versa, right? So that we could take turns, in essence. And I just saw on the table the Just for Tonight, there's a little piece of pamphlet there talking about the need to rest. And so possibly that's why this was picked. but also, it's just the idea that you do what you can, as best you can, whether you're up against hard things in your own personal journey or in the world. And then we have to let it go and let others help also. And so this is about how we can each rest as the sun moves around the globe in the cradle of dawn. So stick it right up by my face. So you might not be able to hear the guitar, but I hope you can hear my voice. Can you? Let's see. Go to sleep. Welcome the night. I will be here in the morning light. Slip into dreams, you've done all that you can. I'll hold you here in the dawn. Sunset in your country, sunrise in mine. Lay down your body, feel mine begin to rise. Sunset in my country, sunrise in yours. I feel you there in the dawn. The forces facing us are terrible indeed. My hope may flicker in the night, but in the morning I will plant another seed, and while you sleep it seeks the light. Go to sleep, welcome the night. I will be here in the morning light. Slip into dreams, you've done all that you can. I'll hold you here in the dawn. Sunset in your country, sunrise in mine. Lay down your body, feel mine begin to rise. Sunset in my country, sunrise in yours. I feel you there in the dawn. There are no promises we will see the day. The dreams we live for will succeed. But I can promise you that halfway around the world, I'll hold the light up while you sleep. We need a quiet place to let our spirits be, somewhere that we are safe from harm. So my beloveds, as the moonbeams touch the sea, rest in the cradle of the dawn. Go to sleep, welcome the night. I will be here in the morning light. Slip into dreams, you've done all that you can. I'll hold you here in
the dawn. Sunset in your country, sunrise in mine. Lay down your body, feel mine begin to rise. Sunset in my country, sunrise in yours. I feel you there in the dawn. I'll hold you here in the dawn. Rest in the cradle of dawn.
After hearing and singing with her, I think you all know the meaning that we all experience in 12-step. This other song that I've asked her to sing is only like 5 or 6 lines, and I really hope it's so meaningful to me. So I truly hope you all will join in. Thank you. It took me a while that doing this wasn't helping. I needed to do this.
So just to repeat what she said, because you might not have been able to hear it. This next song is wicked simple. It's only 4 lines. Some of you, I think, have heard it, so sing loudly and lustily, those of you who have heard it. It's called How Could Anyone. It's had a big life out in the world, and I think that's because I truly believe everybody is born marvelous, innocent, lovely, marvelous, connected, caring, spectacular. And then stuff happens, right? Not everybody acts like that all the time, just saying. But I actually believe that if people are either showing you who they really are or they're showing you what happened to them. So I send this out to the human race. I think everybody needs to hear it, and I hope you'll sing along with me. It's pretty simple. It goes like this. How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. That's the whole song. So you've got lyrics in front of you. You want to try it? How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. Sing harmonies. How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. One more time. How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. Have a great meeting.
Thank you, Libby. Originally, we wanted Libby to sing at the end of the speakers, but unfortunately, she has another commitment. So we put her up front. You can't hear me? Okay. Can you hear me better? Usually, my voice carries, and listening to me is not usually an issue. So now, we will begin with our speakers. Wow, we're actually on time. We will be hearing from Emma, our Alateen speaker. But she's going to be sandwiched between our two Al-Anon speakers, who are Marcia W. and Paul J. And a correction regarding Paul J. On the flyers, he said he was a dual member. He is a member of Al-Anon and not any other 12-step program. Like me, when we found ourselves in communities where there were no in-person Al-Anon meetings, we were warmly welcomed in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. So thank you very much to the Alcoholics Anonymous Fellowship for contributing to our sanity, serenity, and peace, and making your meetings available to us as well. So with that, I introduce Marsha W. to come and share her story.
Do you need me to hold any books open for you?
No. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Can you hear me okay? It was so nice to have Libby here. I'm a music teacher and a singer-songwriter, and it's right that music brings us all together, gives us an opportunity to sing together, and it brings healing. And I was so blessed by that. That's just the medicine I needed today. My name is Marsha W. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi.
I'm going to share with you today how it was, what I did, and how it is now. Thank you for inviting me to tell my story, and I'm a grateful member. If you had known me before Al-Anon, I never would have stood in front of anybody to talk. But my years in Al-Anon have given me courage and the ability to tell my story, and each of you has a story, and I honor that. I grew up in a home with alcoholism and lost my mother at age 6 because she chose to drink and drive. My dad was an alcoholic, as was his father. And as the oldest child in my family of 6, it became my job to be their caretaker and their mother to keep them safe. I tried my best. It was difficult to do that amid chaos. I began dating an alcoholic in 1979. And at age 20, that's when I started dating him, and I married him at age 23. In April of 1985, I hit bottom. I was 27 years old, and I had 2 young children, a 4-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter. I ended up in a shelter for battered women and went to see a therapist because I wanted to understand what my part in it was. I was concerned. He recommended I try Al-Anon. I'd never heard of Al-Anon. As an adult child of an alcoholic, and I had married a violent alcoholic, I thought I would give it a try. Several things motivated this: a desire to heal and for spiritual and personal growth, a desire to be connected to others who understood, because I was very, very isolated, a desire for my children and I to live in a home that was safe and free from the impact of alcoholism. At that time, I lived in fear. I was very isolated, and I blamed myself. He said it was my fault. My dad used to tell us it was our fault, and I believed that. That was the message that I had received. What happened? I packed 3 suitcases. I was living in Juneau, Alaska, and I got on a plane, and I left Juneau with 3 suitcases and 2 children. I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't know if I would have a job, but my higher power was leading me. I went to Wilton, Iowa, where I visited my sister, and it was there in July of 1985 that I attended my first Al-Anon meeting. They welcomed me in the basement of a church, and I remember that night feeling for the first time safe. There was safety in that room. And they told me to keep coming back. I was sure that I could figure this thing out and make my life and my marriage work in a short amount of time. But what I heard at the meeting was that I didn't cause alcoholism, I couldn't control it, and I certainly didn't have the cure for it. I also heard that we have 3 choices: institutions, death, and recovery. And that's the same for our family members who are struggling with the addiction of alcoholism. At the meeting, I was encouraged to attend at least 6 meetings before I decided that Al-Anon was not for me, to work the steps, to get a sponsor, to understand the conference-approved literature, and to apply the principles of the program to my life. So one day at a time, I tried that, but I was still very afraid. I didn't speak at a meeting for 2 years. I went to Al-Anon, I didn't say a word. I was afraid if I said anything, they would say, "Why are you talking?" Or I didn't have a place there, but I still listened. So I learned that when I listen, I learn. They said to keep coming back, call people during the week. Well, you know the telephone weighs 1,000 pounds. I didn't want to call anybody, but finally, after 2 years, I spoke at a meeting. I said something, and they said, "Thank you so much." And I thought, whoa, they said, "Thank you." But I kept going back. And finally, in 1983, mind you, I'd been going to meetings since 1985, I got the courage to ask someone to be my sponsor. And she was delighted. And I was so thankful. And so she said, "Miss Marcia, you need to get this book." "Okay." "And you also need to get a 3-ring notebook, our 3-ring spiral bound. And every Thursday, we're going to meet at Sherry's Cafe. And we will work through this, and you will write your responses in your journal." I looked forward to those times with my sponsor. And so I worked through the steps, I worked through the traditions and the concepts, all writing my answer. But that relationship that was between the two of us was so healing, and I am so very thankful for her time and that she poured into me. So we worked through all the steps until we got to step 7. I said, "Well, I don't think God's going to remove my shortcomings. You don't understand." She said, "Tell me more." I says, "He's not. I've used up all my chances with God." She says, "I don't think you understand. You're going to do step 7 again." And so we worked through step 7, but I'll tell you how that came about when I finally understood that God would remove my shortcomings. I was at a sponsorship conference in Washington State, and I went into, there was a big room like this, and they were serving dinner, and someone said, "Marcia, would you like my ticket for dinner? I can't stay tonight." I said, "I would love that." So I sat down, and this man came and sat beside me. He had the most beautiful blue eyes, and he was so gentle and kind. And we got to talking, and I said, "You know, I have to tell you," he asked how I was doing. And by this time, I tell the truth because I've been sitting in enough meetings. And I said, "I have to tell you, I think I've used up all my chances with God, and I'm on step 7, and I just failed it. My sponsor says you got to do it again." He said, Well, come to find out, that man was the AA speaker. And he got up that evening and told his story. And as he told his story, the tears just poured down my face. It was a beautiful story of recovery. And I thought to myself, if God can remove all of his defects of character, and if God can bring healing in his life, I think he can do that for me. And so that night, step 7 came into my heart in a new way, and I kept going on. Part of my character issues have been that I chose men who were not safe and had problems with addictions, and I would get involved with them and then do all the things they wanted me to do. My husband used to say, "If I don't quit going to those damn meetings, that we're going to get a divorce." Well, I didn't stop going to the meetings, so you know what happened. I didn't talk to him about the meetings. I didn't tell him he should go to meetings. But I kept going to meetings and working my program. How it is now, I'm not sure where I am with time, but the timer's back there. I'm doing good. I've completed my work with a trauma therapist, so I want to say, from my perspective, I had an adverse child experience score of a 9. That's really high. And so I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And Al-Anon helped me have a safe place to belong, but I needed to do some deep inner work with professionals, and that is what I did. And it took 6 years of really working for me to heal those parts that were really, really broken. In the Al-Anon rooms, I knew I belonged, and I knew I was safe. But this work had to be done with a professional. My abandonment issues are healed now, and I can set healthy boundaries to take care of myself. The peace and the love that I experienced early in the rooms sustains me now, and it goes with me wherever I go. And I carry that as I stand before you today. I have compassion. I have compassion for those who suffer with addictions. I have those compassion for those, like all of us sitting in this room, whose lives are impacted by this disease. I'm currently doing an internship as I obtain my second graduate degree to be a licensed mental health professional, and I'm working with young people at Arch Facility in Eagle River, where they have co-occurring diagnosis, and it's beautiful, and I feel so honored to sit with them. And because of the work I've done, I have great compassion. So, my higher power is leading me, healing me, providing for me, and continues to remove the character defects that were my coping strategies. My coping strategies were fear, worry, trying to figure things out. If I could have frequent flyer miles for future tripping, I would be flying around the world for free the rest of my life. And that's no joke. I used to have terrible contempt for myself. That's one of the things that happened in my family. I've replaced the character defects. I should say my higher power has. And now I carry love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, compassion, gentleness, and self-control. The shame and isolation that nearly killed me are gone. I no longer live with the desire to fix others. No, thank you. Instead, I live peacefully as I practice the steps and the principles in all my affairs. I am honest, and my insides match my outsides. I love the wisdom of Father Tom W., if you've ever heard him speak. He's in both programs. And he says, "Stay out of the gorilla cage, Miss Marcia, where the loved one is dancing with the gorilla." Now, mind you, I got in the gorilla cage early on in the early years. I got in the gorilla cage. I tried to reconstruct the gorilla cage. I redecorated the gorilla cage. I made fancy meals in the gorilla cage. I tried to get my loved one away from the gorilla. And that's how you die. And now I let them dance. I don't go near the gorilla cage. I go visit the butterflies. And that's what I tell my sponsees. It sounds like you're near the gorilla cage today. You might want to go visit the butterflies. So, some of my favorite slogans and sayings are, "When I listen, I learn. When I share, I heal. Don't go upstairs by yourself." That's a dangerous place for me. It was for many years. "Let go and let God." "Easy does it." "Let us love you until you can love yourself." I can't tell you how many times I heard that in meetings, and it is so true that I sat in there and I said, "Let there be no gossip or criticism of one another. I am not responsible for another's disease." You might be right when they're saying something. "Let it begin with me." One of my favorite acronyms is WAIT. Why am I talking? "Have a safety plan, Miss Marcia. Don't advise others." "I will share my experience, strength, and hope when I'm asked." The promise is found in this amazing book. If you're an adult child of an alcoholic and lived in a violent home, this is amazing. The promises found in this book are true. Survival to Recovery, conference approved literature. The Al-Anon promises, if we willingly surrender ourselves to the spiritual discipline of the 12 steps, our lives will be transformed. We will become mature, responsible individuals with a great capacity for joy, fulfillment, and wonder. Though we may never be perfect, continued spiritual progress will reveal to us our enormous potential. We will discover that we are worthy of love and loving. We will love others without losing ourselves, and will learn to accept love in return. Our sight, once clouded and confused, will clear, and we will be able to perceive reality and recognize the truth. Courage and fellowship will replace fear. We will be able to risk failure to develop new hidden talents. Our lives, no matter how battered or degraded, will yield hope to share with others. We will begin to feel and will come to know the vastness of our emotions, but we will not be slave to them. Our secrets will no longer bind us in shame. No longer terrified, we will discover we are free to delight in life's paradox. We will laugh more, fear will be replaced with faith, and gratitude will come naturally as we realize that our higher power is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I am so grateful for this program. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Thank you so much for listening to my words.
Thank you, Marcia W. Tiana, can you take a quick look to see how many other people are in line? Did you say 20? Okay. So everybody on the outskirts, I have no idea where the others who reserve tables, but you know what? Just come on closer. Okay. Well, we'll all figure it out. But if you want to come in and be part of the table, please do so. Before we move on to Emma, our Alateen speaker, I just wanted to say each chair setting has a gift from Al-Anon, which is the detachment flyer, our Just for Today's, our Just for Tonight's, and our sponsorship bookmarkers. So please take them as a gift from Al-Anon and hope they will be of benefit to you. Also, we put on your tables our outreach flyer. So if you know any counselors or lawyers or anybody who would potentially, or just a friend, know that this is our outreach magazine that you can get us a PDF off of your computer to shoot off to somebody. But also these are here for you as well. And with that, I am going to ask Emma and her mother, Amanda, to come up. Emma is our Alateen. Okay, so Emma's a little nervous, but she did such a great job with our Serenity Prayer. But her mother, Amanda, who was also an Amias at one time, which is an Al-Anon member involved in Alateen service, as is Susan, and Tandy is also our Amias. I'm an Amias. Is anybody else in this room an Amias? Okay. We're always looking for more Amiases. Anyway, so I'm going to hand it over to Amanda, who will read Emma's share today.
Hello, I'm Amanda, and hi. This is Emma. She is 9 years old, and she has been going to Alateen for at least 2 years. Alateen has helped her understand alcoholism more. She likes Alateen because they play games while learning about alcoholism.
Yeah, sure.
Just a couple words about her and her journey. From my perspective, I have learned that she's a lot more confident than she used to be. Sorry, I'm trying not to cry, which is silly. Like, I learned how to be brave in these rooms. I used to sweat so bad, I was hoping that the first row couldn't smell me, just so she has, you know, that we learn to be brave in here, we learn to grow, and she has become so much more confident. She's just so nervous today because this is so new. She was our speaker at our 20-year anniversary. Yeah. She was our speaker. She was our, you know, and got up there and read this and did great. And so, oh, yeah, thank you. And I have watched her put boundaries down, such as today. I am not going up there. Okay. And those boundaries can change. She got up here and at least stood with me. And so we grow and we learn in here, and she is doing amazing. And so I just want to thank the Amiases who work so hard to keep this program going. Our children need this program so much. Oh, is that better? This speaker is so finicky. Yeah, I just appreciate everything that Susan and Denise and Tandy do for our kids that are in Alateen. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma and Amanda. So next we have Paul J. And it's just miraculous to me that we're actually on time. Unfortunately, many of you did not get to experience Libby and her songs, but you can buy the recording. Is this too close, Rusty?
No, I'm going to stay in the front.
Okay.
We'll get my timer going.
No, don't worry. She's got her 5 minutes. And if we have, don't worry, she'll do
okay.
It.
All right. Let me grab my cards.
All right. Hello. My name is Paul J. Howdy, everybody. I'm a proud member of Al-Anon, and as Denise stated earlier, when I first started my journey, there was no Al-Anon around, so I just went to AA meetings in the town that I was at. What I'm going to be speaking to you all about, I'm going to go over this real quick, why I'm here, brief life history, then I have a couple paragraphs in a book to read to you. And I'll announce that book to you when I'm reading it. How life has been affected by alcohol, and then how life is now, and then I'll conclude with the closing. All right, what brought me to Al-Anon? You know, at first, I thought it was my wife. You know, like a lot of things, it's your partner, this and that. But as I've been in Al-Anon for the past few years, it wasn't. It was my life. It was how I was brought up and where I came from and all that stuff and all the people that were around me. And I always thought, you know, an alcoholic, that's the person on the side of the street that's just begging for change or this or that and can't walk and this and that. And as I got older and got into this program, I realized that is what was a very big misconception. You know, when I got older, I found out one uncle passed away from alcoholism. And I found out more stories about him. Then I found out more stories about grandparents and this and that. And I found out this isn't just a one-time thing, or it's not just the person on the side of the street sitting there. So on and so forth, life went on. All right? Then, hold on a second here. I have my little reminder notes. You guys are having problems hearing me? Okay, that's a little bit better. Thank you. Okay, you know, as a young adult, and I'll go back to a little bit about even being a kid, I don't remember ever going to a Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner, or even New Year's Eve without having a glass of champagne, a little bit of wine with dinner. Sometimes it was watered down, sometimes not. And then being a kid, when we go out to the cabin, Dad would always say, here, you know, if you want, have a sip of beer. And then after I registered as an 18-year-old young man, Mom and Dad both said, anytime you want, there's beer in the refrigerator. Go ahead and have it. You know, kind of upset. I grew up with five sisters, and they were all upset, saying, oh, why does he get to and I couldn't, and da-da-da-da-da. So Mom had a brief, short discussion with him and ended that, you know, saying, hey, this is something men have to do, and you girls don't have to. So there it is. And then as a young adult, I did imbibe quite a bit. Several nights, several days of not remembering things after going out, even days of not remember a single thing, just total blackouts. Well, I kind of got away from everything, started taking better care of myself in the 30s, had a little injury, had to stop that, and then you can say fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at things, you know, I met my wife, and she once asked me at one point in time, how long did it take you to figure out that I was going to marry her? She goes, how long did it take you? And I told her, and this is the honest to God truth, speak from the heart on this one, maybe 2.3 seconds, 2.5 seconds. It was just long enough to turn around, say hi, introduce myself, and look her in the eyes. Once I looked her in the eyes, that was it. It was over with. I knew at that point she was going to be the one. But because we were working together, I had to, how would you say, be patient. Just wait, because at jobs, it's not the place. And I was doing a lot of remote work in my earlier years. From basically the past 20 years, I've done remote construction work and so on and so forth. So now with that being said, let's fast forward it a little bit. Christmas Day, 2021. Now, the previous 3-4 years to that date, things weren't going too well in the marriage. Things were kind of, you know, on the rocks. And I left for a 16, 17-week job. I come back home. Kids are a mess. House is a mess. And just my kids met me when I walked in the door. So I say hi. And I told the wife when I was there. And after I walked in through the door, she came down the steps, suitcase in her hand, and just walked right past me. Opened up the door, and I said, what's going on? And she said, I'll talk to you later. I got to go. All right, you got to go. So I let her go, and that's kind of when I started my little bit of a journey, because when I was gone for those 16, 17 weeks, I was in a fortunate place to be where there was no radio, no TV, nothing like that. But what I was doing was downloading books online and listening to them in my vehicle that I was driving. I was driving what they call a rock truck, and I was hauling 40, 50 tons at a time of dirt on a project. So I had enough to know to keep my mouth shut, which my dad had been telling me all my life, nothing's going to get you in more trouble than your mouth than anything else in life. And I finally figured it out I think that was probably the first time I kept my mouth shut. So I want to thank you, Dad, for that one. Okie doke. And then, again, December 25th is when everything kind of came to a head, and I'm going to come back to that date. So, and my timer here is going to yell at me when there's 5 minutes left. Okay. All righty. I would like to read the first two paragraphs of Chapter 2 in Discovering Choices. It's a book like this. It's Cal literature, so it's all good. Okay, and the title of it is A Solid Foundation. In Al-Anon, we learned that alcoholism isn't an illness, not a moral choice. None of us would choose to have an illness, and neither do alcoholics. It would be short-sighted to blame them or something that was not their choice. When we began to look at alcoholism in this way, it is easier to have compassion for those who suffer from it. Alcoholism has psychological, social, and spiritual aspects that impact the family as well as affect how the alcoholic relates to other people. Like the alcoholic, few of us would choose to be affected by an illness. just as we can learn to have compassion for the alcoholic. We can also learn to have consideration and understanding for ourselves. There's no need to blame ourselves for something that we didn't cause. There's also no need to accept any blame that anyone, including the alcoholic, might try to place on us. We don't have the power to make something else or make someone else drink or not to drink any more than we have the power to cause or cure any other's illness. So this chapter, you know, I'm in the men's group that meets every Thursday night. And we're starting to read that book. And when that we read that chapter, that really affected me because it's more along the lines also of how Al-Anon has affected me. What's been going on since I started? So, on how to reading about, you know, how my life was affected by it. It's been a long, hard journey. You know, when I first started out, and I have a wonderful sponsor by the name of Rick. Little history on him. He's ex-airborne. Is that enough to any of you guys that have been military know what I'm saying? Okay? He's not afraid to say what it is and how it is. And when we first got in, started talking together and going through everything, he brought up a lot of things because I was more focused on everybody else. And he, after a couple of meetings and stuff like that, sitting down with him, he said, wait a second, you know, isn't this a you program and not a we program? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, you're talking a lot of we bit. There's not much about you. I was like, okay. He said, well, let's go on to that. And I'll tell you a little bit why I picked this gentleman. We used to work together back in the early 90s. Together in a warehouse, and he was having a lot of problems with his drinking. He's quit. He just passed up 28 years of sobriety here on December 23rd of 2024. So he's one I chose to, but because of this scene, we were out in one of the aisles pulling orders, and we were just talking. And he goes, "You know what's the one thing about drinking that I can't stand? Is I can quit anytime. Quitting's easy. It's how to live without it, and I need to learn how to do that." And then I ended up leaving that job and going someplace else. He ended up leaving and went in and got himself cleaned up. So just because of that sin, he said, I need to change, but I don't know how. I know how to quit, but not how to live. And that's what he's done. And that was one of the things we talked about at the beginning. How do you live with it?
And what happened at Christmas?
Thank you. I asked the timer to bring up, hey, when I got to 5 minutes, what happened at Christmas? Okay, Christmas Day, about 3:30 in the afternoon. That's when I thought my world was coming to an end, or I thought my world came to an end. That's when my wife at the time, again, I've been working a lot of remote jobs, and it's how it was when we met. So I thought that was normal. And I grew up with Dad always working, paying the bills, taking care of everything. Mom would feed us and make sure we got to school on time with clothes on. Maybe not the proper socks, but at least had clothes on. And that's what I was doing. I thought that was what I needed to do. Well, that's when things hit the fan. That was my rock bottom day. And she said something to me and said, hey, you know, I want a divorce. And I was just like, that floored me. Now, what I did at that point, because I was at a loss for words and things, so I went upstairs, went into the master bedroom bathroom, closed the door, and sat there and looked in the mirror going, what the just happened? What am I going to do? And just got very distraught. And my brain started thinking about things and just going down a wrong path, going into what I call my rabbit hole. And I went down pretty quick. And then when I was in there, I was like going, you know what? I need to call and talk to somebody. And I grew up with this one lady or one girl from elementary school. And we've stayed in touch for chatting and talking. And she's a ordained minister. And I called her up and I told her what happened, what's going on. But the thing is, I called her on Christmas Day, 3:45-ish, 4 o'clock our time, and she was living in Atlanta, Georgia. She picked up the phone. She didn't say Merry Christmas or anything like that. She goes, Paul, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's going on? Because she knew I wouldn't be calling at that type of time on that day unless there was a big issue. So I told her. We had a long discussion, and she told me some things that I might need to do. And I listened to her. And then on January 6, 2022, I went to my first Al-Anon meeting here in Anchorage. Now, about 10 years earlier, I'd gone to a few meetings, tried to do the telephone thing because of where I was at, and it just didn't work. And I figured, you know, I'm the only one working, new kids, new life, all that. So I need to, so that's why I was going to the AA meetings down there. So this young lady, Denise, was one of the ladies that was there at my very first meeting here in Anchorage. And I was very distraught and very out of it. And she gave me a hug at the end of that meeting. And I'll never forget that. And so did the other young lady that was there. And it brought me to, like, hey, they're here. They're helping me. They want to help me. So that was the beginning. And that's why I'm where I'm at now. Now, looking at the past 4 years of work that I've been doing, you know, I told you my ex-wife, or wife at the time, now ex-wife, we had a big issue. We got divorced, went through that whole fiasco. Here it is, 2 years after our divorce. Right before I walked up to her, she sent me a text, speak from the heart. We have that good of a relationship now. We have now put aside all our things. I'm giving her little kudos for doing what she's doing, trying to help her out. She's doing things to help me out. You know, just these little things. And she sent me another text a couple nights ago. I'm like, we might have something to work on. I don't know. You know, because we're both in recovery. She's doing her thing. And looking back at it, that day, that Christmas day, was the best gift she ever gave to me. Because it allowed me to bottom out, start going to meetings. My dad used to always call it cranial rectumitis. And I figured out that I had it pretty bad. So it's done. And now I'm on my path to recovery. I'm a lot happier. And that's a weird thing for me. I've never been happy my entire life until this year. Okay, I'm seeing I got it, the shut up sign. Got it. So I'm going to end it with that. I just want to say Al-Anon has gotten me to get over all my anger, get over all my blame on everybody else, and to live my life and do as I choose and make myself happy. And this is the first time ever in my life I've been this way. So thank you all, and I appreciate everybody for being here and for everything you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. We're going to wrap up. But we will have about five to eight minutes if people wanted to ask questions or share their own experience, strength, and hope. I encourage you to do so by creating a line here. But first, I would like to say thank you to all of you for joining our fellowship at the PRASA Al-Anon Alateen Family Luncheon. Enormous gratitude to all the volunteers who organized and helped with this event, and our guest presenters and interpreters. Could you all please stand up so that we can recognize you for your contributions to making this a success? Thank you. A quick reminder, this is our Al-Anon closing. For abbreviated purposes, whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. On the way out, please enjoy the Al-Anon gifts we've left on the table for you, the detachment flyer, the sponsorship bookmarker, the Just for Tonight's and Just for Today's, and I hope that you will enjoy them and find them useful. And at this time, I will ask Emma to join me in saying the Al-Anon Declaration, which you can find on your table so that you can do it with us as well. I encourage you to stand up if you can to say this with us. two, three. Let it begin with me. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, let the hand of Al-Anon and Alateen always be there, and let it begin with me. Thank you very much, Emma, and everybody for joining us today. If you would like to share your experience, strength, and hope, please come up to the mic so that you can do so. I guess Susan wants to speak.
Well, I figured as Mias, who has encouraged our Alateen to speak, why shouldn't I get up here and speak? But I didn't have anything prepared. I would like to encourage any of you that know teenagers. We have a preteen right now, but she would love to have someone else join her in our meetings. You can call in, and it's on the website. Because we are in Wasilla, we're not... It's easier probably for some of you to call in. But she would love to have another friend join her in the Alateen meetings. Thank you.
Anybody else like to share?
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Brigitte, alcohólica.
Good afternoon, her name is Brigitte, an alcoholic.
Solo quería decir que el trabajo que ustedes están haciendo con mucho amor.
I just wanted to say that this work that you are doing with a lot of love.
Con sabiduría.
With wisdom.
No es en vano.
It's not in vain.
Gracias a su trabajo y que mantienen las puertas abiertas del grupo.
Thanks to your work and for keeping the doors of the group open.
Y solo por la gracia de Dios.
And due to God's grace.
Yo estoy aquí.
I am here.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bridget. Anybody else like to share? Oh, sorry.
Cynthia, alcoholic, double winner. I started out in Alateen when I was pretty young. I think I was about 11 or something like that, and parents getting divorced, and I felt like we were kind of shoved into a room and told to tell the things that you never, ever say. So I said nothing. But it was a good introduction to other people saying things. And I remember that, you know, and then my next teen introduction was to go to a drug and alcohol class. So I was always bouncing back and forth. And so I always tell everybody I go to Al-Anon twice a year, whether I need it or not. And I do. Thanks.
Thank you. If you need to leave, please do leave. But we do have the room for another 5 minutes. So if anybody else would like to share their experience, strength, and hope, please do so.
Hi, I'm Tiana. I came into the Al-Anon program because I had a problem with her not having a problem with their problem the way that I had a problem with their problem, and so we had problems. So I came in because of somebody else's drinking, but I stayed because of my thinking, thinking that I could read enough professional literature to figure out the inner workings of their head and turn the screws the way I wanted them to grow. And what I learned is that that was counterproductive. I saw that I could have an effect on them. It just wasn't the desired effect. So if I could just try louder, harder, faster, more often, maybe I could fix them. And that is what needed fixing in my head. When I came in, neither my parents drank and neither my husband's parents drank. But I took the questionnaire, did you grow up with a problem drinker? And I failed that. I only had like a 70% on that test. That's a failing grade. And then I turned it over and I said, if you've answered more than three of these to the affirmative, you may have grown up with a problem drinker. I did not, but I felt like I finally belonged because the effects of alcoholism had been passed down through the generations. And today I get the chance to heal that. I'm 16 years in the program, My husband has 3 years of sobriety coming up on 4, and our son has coming up on 2. And so this is family recovery. And when you change for the better, it changes the atmosphere in the family, and it gives an opportunity for them to seek what we were trying to force. There's a lot of freedom in that, in this room. Thank you guys for coming.
And with that, we will close the Al-Anon Luncheon. Thank you so much for joining and being patient and bringing in your foods and just going with the flow, folks. So thank you very much. And if you wish to buy Al-Anon literature, it'll be upstairs at the Al-Anon booth.